This is the Seahawkers Podcast, episode 344. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me, my good buddy and Montana Seahawker, Adam Emmert.
Dude, I'm worried for you, man. How you doing now that you're officially truckless? You're no longer a truck guy. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I was never, you know, hardcore into truck lifestyle. And yeah, with the market being what it is and my only having 3,500 miles in a year and a half of with my latest truck, I decided it was time to no longer be truck guy.
And I'm the hermit. You put 3,500 miles on your truck. You weren't all into truck culture. You weren't full send. You weren't diesel as catfish. You didn't like it. You didn't actually smoke out Priuses at stoplights.
No. No, I never, okay. I never got the testicles that hang off the rear.
No. How many American flags did you have mounted to your truck bed?
Zero.
What?
I know. I'm a bad truck guy.
Golly, you screwed that up.
But it's just in time. It's just in time for the Seahawks season. See, I'm giving up the truck lifestyle. I'm fully embracing our 2021 Seahawks lifestyle.
There you go. So. Hey, it was good for you to give that up, because now you have to ride with me to all the games.
That's fine. Yeah. I can ride with you. And I'm not going to say that I caused Dwayne Brown to return to practice, but there's an awfully distinct correlation with me giving up my truck and Dwayne Brown returning to practice for the Seahawks.
Well, clearly that's it. It couldn't be that any of us had been anybody with half a brain talking about Seahawks saying, yes, sometime before the start of the season, they'll have worked something out. And lo and behold, we get the news today. They move some money around. Dwayne Brown is supposedly happy, I imagine. Cool beans.
He didn't want to play in the preseason, and he wanted some more money. And so they're able to find a way to make both things happen. Now, it wasn't a long-term extension, but it was enough of a move that he gets more money this year. And yeah, so I think they ended up freeing up cap space for this season too. So what big move is John Schneider planning?
That's a great question. I don't know. Maybe it's to give Diggs a new deal.
Maybe.
Which, who knows? Maybe within a half an hour of starting this podcast, we're going to get Diggs news as well.
That's how it works. We'll get some Diggs news. Yeah. Maybe there's probably other guys too that they could give long-term extensions to.
Oh, absolutely. There's all sorts of cap wizardry and all that stuff that could happen here still. But I think everybody can say that even though it was predictable, we can all breathe a little easier knowing that Dwayne Brown is back in the fold. He's going to be the week one starter at left tackle, our best offensive lineman, the captain of that offensive line. He's ready to rock and bring it coming up here against the Indianapolis Colts.
So the one other guy, though, I want to go back to Diggs. I do want to talk Colts, but if Diggs sat out, I don't think I would be as sad because of what I saw from Marquise Blair in the preseason and also Ryan Neal. So when Diggs is the better player of the three right now, but if he needed to sit out, it's not that big of a drop off to have to either go to Blair or Neal as there is at left tackle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you had to choose one or the other, you would have absolutely chosen to have Dwayne Brown for sure suit up rather than Diggs. And that's no slight on Diggs. But just like you said, the drop off in talent is nowhere as precipitous for the safety position. But I still would be bummed if Diggs didn't play.
Oh, yeah.
Like that still needs to happen, guys. Like, let's go.
It's Wednesday. If you can do it for Dwayne, do it for Diggs and just make it work. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that's the order in which the contracts needed to go for them. You know, you never really know exactly what's in Josh Schneider's head.
But yes, the first game of the NFL season coming up on Sunday, Seahawks, Colts. I'm ready for football, man.
Oh, big time, man. I am fired up. I cannot wait for this week one matchup. It is kind of a bummer that it's on the road. I hate it. I hate opening on the road.
Oh, I do.
It's such a bummer, but you know, as far as who you could draw, this is a decent first matchup for the Seahawks. This gives them a chance to get their feet wet. But then again, we've seen in years past where they open against an easier team, like the Bengals, let's say, and struggle mightily, right? So it's always hard to know, you know, just how fast the Pete Carroll team is going to start. The narrative is that they don't start fast, yet they've done pretty well over the years in the first half of the season, and especially just looking at last season. So once again, we come back to the, yeah, I'm not really sure.
Well, we don't have preseason to lean on. We don't have, there's so many things that you would hope that you could lean on a little bit going into this game. And so you're left with all those historical stats that in going into this game, they don't really matter. But when you think of the fact that I think Colts fans were saying that they haven't seen an opening day win in 8 years, something crazy like that.
Wow.
The Seahawks are one thing that is nice about starting on the road is we don't have to wait for the afternoon games. It'll be a morning game.
No, that is not nice for me. I'm working this weekend, and if it were later, I would have a much better chance of watching it live than earlier, especially since I'll be in Central Time Zone, which makes it even harder. So no, this is the worst case scenario for me, and that's all that matters.
Bad deal for you. But the rest of us don't have to wait until the later games to watch the Seahawks. And Seattle's been really good in that time slot. So they've been good in that time slot, and they've been really good against Carson Wentz. 5-0 against Wentz in the regular season in the playoffs. So cross your fingers that he's healthy and he's in this game.
Oh, that's the big news that came out today, that Carson Wentz will play in the week one opener.
Well, they're saying that, yeah.
What, to give us the big ruse to protect Jacob Eason? Give me a break.
You don't know. Pete Carroll won't even name the center going into this game, whether it's Kyle Fuller or Ethan Posick. He won't come out and say who it is.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that...
How does that matter for the opposing team? I mentioned it when I was doing the preview for field goals, and he goes, why would Pete Carroll even worry about that? Like, just guys. Yeah,
whoever plays, yeah. Right?
That's what I said. Yeah. It's a mediocre center or another mediocre center. What do you want?
Right. Yeah. What flavor of mediocre do you want?
Not hard.
Definitely not.
There are some things that I'm worried about with this Colts team now. I need you to flip your mind over from the Know Your Rival series where we just crapped on the opposing teams within our division.
Yeah.
Now we need to get into actual analysis mode with the opposing teams.
Exactly. Exactly.
And there are some things I'm a little bit concerned about when it comes to the Colts. And Carson Wentz is probably the least of my concern because they have Jonathan Taylor at running back. They have a solid offensive line. And if we do go to some of the things that we did see in the preseason, we saw the middle of the Seahawks defensive line struggle a little bit in some preseason games. Now, it looked a little bit better against the Chargers, but I could see them having a hard time with, you know, a guy like Ryan Kelly in the middle, Quentin Nelson. It sounds like did they definitively say if Nelson's going to play in this game?
According to the depth chart I'm looking at now from ESPN, it says he's going to play. There is also a problem with that, though, because they also say that the left tackle, Eric Fisher, is, quote, questionable. No, he's not. He's coming off of an Achilles surgery. He's not going to be back for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. There's nothing questionable about whether Eric Fisher is going to play. And not only that, but his backup is on IR now. They're down to their third stringer for left tackle.
I think it's going to be their backup right tackle, though, that is playing left tackle.
Yeah, well, either way, that's bad. And it's bad for their deal. And that could spell a big day for somebody like Daryl Taylor, right?
Sure.
Like that's a spicy first matchup for him. I'm really looking forward to that. But don't forget on that offensive line for the Colts, the man, the myth, the legend, former Seahawk, Mark Lewinsky.
Yeah. Apparently they're okay. He's like their okay guy on that offensive line. Now there's the questions at left tackle, but yeah, he's just an average starting right guard for them.
Okay. Left tackle is a disaster for them right now. It's not questions, but Quentin Nelson is an absolute ass kicker. The middle of that offensive line is pretty good. And yes, that's kind of our biggest concern regarding our defensive line is their beefiness up front and being able to stop the run up the middle. And if you can't do that, you're going to have a tough time, especially when you've got a running back like Jonathan Taylor, who's a pretty good size back. he's a nice player. I really am a fan of his game. That is the key to the game defensively for the Seahawks. Can you stop the run game, especially up the middle? And that's what I'll be looking for.
Run game up the middle. And then Carson Wentz doesn't have to throw the football all that far. Paris Campbell, he's pretty fast. Michael Pittman Jr., pretty fast. So if they're just doing quick dump off passes, and that's the other concern early on in the season, you do see the Seahawks tend to miss tackles because they don't do a lot of tackling in the preseason. And with the starters not having a whole lot of playing time, I could see them giving up potentially some big plays with the speed that the Colts have on offense.
The possibility's there. There's no doubt about it, but no T.Y. Hilton, and that's a big deal.
I don't know if he's all that fast anymore.
He's still a hell of a player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, would you rather face T.Y. Hilton this week or not face T.Y. Hilton this week?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Paris Campbell, Michael Pittman, they don't put any fear in me, like, other than just, like you said, the Seahawks themselves aren't up to par because of the lack of physicality in, you know, training camp and all that stuff, preseason leading up here. Carson Wentz, that's going to be the fun part of this game in some ways to watch. I mean, does Frank Reich have the magic solution here to bring him back out of his shell? Or is he more the guy that, you know, kind of looked like he did last year, where he was an absolute train wreck in every situation that you can be as a quarterback, including, and I heard this yesterday on Bill Simmons' podcast, he was god-awful on first down with no pressure, which is the easiest time in the world to throw the football, and he was god-awful.
Yeah.
So that he definitely was broken, at least last year. We'll see how that looks this year.
And that's an interesting aspect of the game, too, because how do you fix that? Like, what if you're destroyed mentally to the point that you can't operate well on first down with no pressure? How do you get over that?
I'm not sure. And maybe it is just the change of scenery and all that, but it will be interesting. It does concern me slightly, right? Regarding the Colts offense. Like, what if Carson Wentz is rejuvenated? What if Frank Reich is a genius? And then you're starting out the season 0-1 possibly. I don't want that. I like Frank Reich a lot. I'm not even rooting against Carson Wentz. Could they just fail for week one and like have the questions start early for them? Can we just do that?
Of course you're rooting for Frank Reich, former Bills quarterback, legendary.
And leader of the largest comeback in playoff history. Yes, Frank Reich.
I remember that game. I was against the Oilers, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was crying at halftime. And Dad came by and he's like, why are you still watching this? Turn this off if it makes you that upset. They're not coming back. And I watched it.
And they came back.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Took down Warren Moon. I think that would have been Moon's first playoff win too. I know that Moon always struggled in the playoffs.
Yeah, the whole Oilers team did with that whole run and shoot thing. But fortunately, we don't face the run and shoot in this game.
let's come back to 2021. We don't need to go back until
the Seahawks.
Late 80s. Yeah.
It was in the 90s.
Was it? I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Well, was it the year right before their 4-year Super Bowl run?
Yeah, it was the first year of their 4-year Super Bowl run, I think, or second.
Oh, did they end up making it to the... Okay, anyway.
Yeah, I tried to transition us, and then you derailed us from talking about the formidable, maybe not so formidable Colts here.
Yeah. Well, Carson Wentz, I think that they can get by in this game with a mediocre performance by Carson Wentz, because we mentioned Taylor. We haven't mentioned the defense, though, and I think they have enough guys on defense that they could give the Seahawks some problems potentially with guys up front like DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, underrated player in the middle. They got rookie Kwity Paye as a pass rusher and Darius Leonard as their linebacker. And he's one of the top linebackers in the NFL right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because you bring up Grover Stewart, right? And it was his name, Al-Quadin Muhammad, Bobby Okereke, Zaire Franklin, Rock Yasin, that's a great name, by the way. Kareem Willis, Julian Blackman, all those who?
A lot of who guys.
I have never heard of any of those dudes.
I've heard of Okereke, and Stewart was a new one to me, But when I talked to Stampede Blue, Steven over there, he was really high on Grover Stewart and saying that he was one of the top rated pressure guys from the inside, a big run stuffer at nose tackle. And with the situation at center, that kind of has me worried because it's those under the radar guys, you know, not DeForest Buckner, who you can plan to double team. But if you do plan to double team him, then you have to have a guy who can handle one of those big guys in the middle. And if he has that kind of talent, then that could be a guy that by the end of Sunday, Seahawks fans know his name very well.
That's a possibility. I'm going to go with no, it's not going to happen. I do think Buckner's a hell of a player, though, and I think that is the guy you need to worry about when it comes to the pressure up the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, their edge rushers aren't the most amazing. I mean, Leonard's really good, but there's just not much past that. It's kind of the opposite of the Seahawks defensive line in a lot of ways, right? Like, you've got Buckner, who's like a megastar, basically, on the defensive. He's what? One of the three best interior defensive linemen?
Yeah, easy.
Four?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, I guess.
Exactly. And Darius Leonard, again, another top 10 pass rusher, probably somewhere in there. Then you got a whole lot of nothing. It's almost the exact opposite of the Seahawks in that way, where you've got a bunch of different dudes that can bring it on any given play. When it comes to the rookie Kwity Paye, talk to me when he's done something in the league. I just don't know. I don't have any data points yet to give you any sort of opinion on.
Yeah, we could talk about how Daryl Taylor looked good in the preseason. And yeah, if Kwity Paye showed the same types of things, now they're going against starters. I saw Colts fans, they're like, oh, Dwayne Brown, he sat out all preseason. Kwity Paye, you know, this could be his moment to shine against Dwayne Brown, who you know, hasn't been practicing. Come on now, Colts fans.
No, that ain't happening, dude. Dwayne Brown doesn't need training camp. He doesn't need preseason. He just needs to roll out there on game day. That's all Dwayne Brown.
Like, he's going to come out and be shocked by a rookie on the first week of the season and forget how to play left tackle.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Like, he's got it down. Believe it or not, after that many seasons, he's got it figured out. So, no, I don't worry about that at all. You know, the corners, this could be a big day for Lockett and DK.
I was surprised to hear how high he was on Xavier Rhodes.
Talked to Vikings fans?
that's why I was surprised. I guess the Vikings disagreed and jettisoned him after some terrible seasons. But
well, him and future Hall of Famer Grover Stewart.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be taking advice from this particular Colts fan.
When you said that he just was talking up Xavier Rhodes, that's when I was like, oh, he's just like a worse homer than we are. For the Seahawks. Well,
he did say that Rock Ya-Sin was the guy who he's most worried about at outside corner. And he thought that Kenny Moore could shut down Tyler Lockett in the slot. But we don't see Tyler Lockett playing in the slot all that much. So whether it's DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, whoever's lined up on Rock Ya-Sin, sounds like that's the mismatch there. And you do all right. But whatever he thinks about Grover Stewart, DeForest Buckner is there in the middle. I don't want to see the Seahawks just pound the middle of the defense right away with Chris Carson.
There is no effing way that happens. There is none.
No, there's no way that happens. Have you watched this team in the past?
Yes.
You're saying that's all out the window. The history is all out the window, even though this is still a Pete Carroll coach team.
It is still a Pete Carroll coach team that wants to have Russell Wilson as its quarterback for the next 10 years. And there is no way after this last offseason, they start the season just pounding the rock again and again up the middle. There's no effing way. Now, I do think you're going to see a lot of the, you know, really tight wide receiver splits and maybe even some two tight end sets and things of that nature that you see out of the Rams offense quite a bit. And you're going to see some running, of course, but it's all going to be to set up the pass early. Like, they're going to try to get this going right out the gate.
I hope you're right.
How could they possibly do anything else?
I'm going off of my history and my mind tells me that maybe they try that to start off the season because the opponent won't be expecting it. They're expecting exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Who do you think is more of a yes man, Waldron or Shoddy?
Shoddy for sure. Right.
Yeah, he's just got a history of that. I don't like in the game plan. Can you imagine Waldron being like, "Yeah, get Ballor in there, and we're just gonna pound it like between the guards, like not even between the tackles, between the guards, like just right behind whoever is playing center that we haven't decided yet." No way.
Okay, good. Well, you've alleviated my biggest concern then going into this game.
Now, yeah, they probably will turn around and go do that exact thing right now. Whatever.
Well, we haven't talked special teams. Colts, they got Glasses McKicker on their team.
Oh, is that who they got?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Rodrigo Blankenship.
Well, good for Rodrigo.
So we're gonna see some goggles out there. Hopefully, yeah. Not at all. Maybe they just won't score any points, and we won't have to see him at all, except on,
you know, they're kicking platoon, Rodrigo and Rigoberto. Those are the first names of their kicker and their punter.
And then they got Rhodes as their long snapper, Rogers as their kick returner. There's a lot of R's in there.
It's kind of crazy. Getting back to their defense. This is so the Colts have been a team the last 2-3 years that I've heard people say, "Oh, well, they've got a great defense and their offensive line's real good and they're just a quarterback away," right? I've heard that for the last 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And then every year I watch that defense and I'm like, they're fine. That I don't see them as a great defense at all. I think they are, at least in the media, overrated.
You know, it's weird because it's not like they have more stars on the defensive side than Seattle does.
Not even close.
They got Darius Leonard and they got DeForest Buckner.
That's it. That's all.
I wonder where that comes from.
I don't know. And I've been saying this for the last couple of years. I'm like, I don't see it with them. I think it's overrated. Like people talking about, you know, the Colts going all the way last year with Phillip Rivers. And it's like, well, maybe, I guess. I don't see where they have all that talent on defense that I hear so much about.
The Seahawks are favored in this game by 2.5 points. And that was a shift because I feel like when the schedule first came out, the Seahawks were 3-point underdogs. Because I remember looking at the schedule and wondering, why? Why would the Seahawks be that distinct of an underdog? Apart from it being on the road in Indy, the home opener. But yeah, that has swung now in favor of the Seahawks.
So the line that you just said, the 2-point favorite, is that since the Duane Brown news has broke?
Yeah, that's the current line on Wednesday.
So I think that makes a little sense to me because maybe when you looked and they were a 3-point dog, however long ago.
That was way back. And so, right. And I suppose that was coming off of all the media discussion of, oh, Russell Wilson could get traded and
Jamal Adams doesn't have a new contract. And Duane Brown's going to be looking for more money and Diggs is looking for more money. And what are they going to do about pass rush and da 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 da, right? Yeah.
DK Metcalf's out there running track. Is his mind fully in it?
Yeah. All of those nonsensical offseason memes, but 2-point favorite. That feels about right for a home opener when you don't really know what this offense is going to be.
The Seahawks are a 2-point favorite. Yeah. 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 Well, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. With the new offensive coordinator, I think there probably are more questions on the mind of Colts fans and people who follow the Colts than necessarily with the Seahawks, because at least you have an established quarterback, offensive coordinator changed, but there isn't much that has changed from last year apart from that. Whereas you're coming in with a new quarterback, they have the same kind of questions at cornerback as the Seahawks. You know, the Seahawks with DJ Reed, okay, he's solidified, but Flowers not necessarily sold on him as a potential starter. And I think they're that way with Rock Ya-Sin.
And the Colts, really, I mean, they've had the injury bug early and often this offseason as well. Oof. And that's really tough, man. It's tough to start the season hurt.
Yeah. Do you want to get it behind you? And really, as a Colts fan, I mean, 3-4 weeks ago when Quentin Nelson's going down and Carson Wentz is going down and talking about an injury of 5 to 12 weeks recovery.
Right.
And Colts fans were not excited. And then it turned out that both of them are going to be ready for this game, apparently.
You bet. And you don't know exactly how healthy either. I mean, are they 100%? We won't know until game day. You'll kind of get a sense of that probably pretty quickly. And in Carson Wentz's case, I don't know if it much matters if he's 100% anymore. I mean, it's just, he is so odd just with going from being a potential MVP to where he is now. It's just, it's bizarre.
It is. It's very bizarre. And but if there is one place where you think that he can turn that around, it is having Frank Reich as when he was in Philadelphia, paired up with him and having success now. Yeah. Reunited with him, you think that maybe they can recapture some of that. It makes the most sense why they would go out and trade what they did to get Wentz to the team. But it's still a question mark of, can they pull it off?
This kind of goes back a little bit to last year too, when people were talking about, well, you know, if anybody can get Phil Rivers to not make the costly mistake at the worst moment, it'll be Frank Reich. Like, you know, with that offensive line and the extra protection, he won't do that stuff anymore. Da 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 da. And it didn't happen. No. Like Phil was full Phil. Like he went full Phil the entire season. And yeah, Frank Reich couldn't help him. So, you know, can he help Carson Wentz? Yeah, I don't know. Jury's still out.
I would guess that if he couldn't get it done with a potential borderline future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh, Phil Rivers is a Hall of Famer.
You think he's Hall of Famer?
Yeah, 100%.
I'd put him in before Ben.
No.
I'm saying I would put him in before Ben.
Well, yeah. Okay. If I were to put my objective hat on, right, and be as objective as possible, I would definitely put Ben in before him. Now, if I were to take that hat off, I'd be like, Ben should never make it. I don't ever want to see him around the Hall of Fame. I can't believe they let him play in the Hall of Fame game, even in the preseason. Like, no.
Well, the only reason why he's being considered is because he has two Super Bowls and he shouldn't even have one of those. So there you go.
Yeah.
One Super Bowl quarterback. Those guys don't automatically get in. Screw yeah. Ben Roethlisberger.
And on top of all of that, his head is so freaking huge. When they made the bust of it, they'd have to close off like one wing just for Ben.
It's a problem. You don't have to do any new construction.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although if you want to get Phil Rivers into the hall and make it so all his kids can visit at the same time, you may end up doing some new construction.
Dadgum. That'd be just the bee's knees.
Okay. I think we've done enough in this game. There is one thing I do want to talk about, and that is there's somebody that has the Colts ranked ahead of the Seahawks in their power rankings. Going into week one, it's time to take a trip to Prisco's world.
Oh boy.
La 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 la, la 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 la, Prisco's world. La 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 la, la 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 la, Prisco's world. Prisco has his hot tastes and nothing more. That's Prisco's world.
Yes. The Pete Prisco power rankings are out for week one, and in the number 12 slot, the Indianapolis Colts.
Wait, not only are the Colts ranked ahead of the Seahawks, but that's at 12?
The Colts are ranked 12.
The Seahawks aren't even in the top 10.
Why don't I give you the top 10?
Okay. In every team that isn't better than the Seahawks, after you say their name, I'm just going to say nope.
Bucks number one, Bills, Chiefs 2-3, Packers, Browns 4-5,
nope.
49ers 6,
nope.
Ravens 7,
nope.
Rams 8,
nope.
Number nine, the Arizona Cardinals,
nope.
10 and 11.
You don't even have to say them, just no. What are they, though, for real?
10 and 11, Titans, Patriots.
You could make an argument for Titans.
Yeah, I think the Titans are ranked a little bit low in this.
Yeah.
And so now you know the Colts are at 12. There are five more teams between
five
the Colts
nopes?
And okay. Seahawks.
All right. So before you say those five, I'll just do one big long nope for the next five. Go ahead.
Football team, Cowboys, Dolphins, Vikings, Broncos.
Football teams, Dolphins, Vikings, Broncos?
Cowboys.
Wow. Okay. Broncos.
Seahawks are at number 18 in the power rankings.
Well, did Russell Wilson like drive by Pete Prisco's house and piss in his Cheerios like this last week? Like, what happened?
He said they still have Russell Wilson, which always makes them a threat. The key to their season will be the improvement of the defense, which means improvement of the pass rush. I'm not sure it's good enough, which is why they are the fourth team in the division in my book.
Right. So
nine spots they didn't worse improve, than the Cardinals.
Even if they didn't improve, they're still the team that won the division last year, and now they're the worst in the division?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes total sense.
It was a little bit Vikings? Surprising.
Vikings? Their offense is a disaster right now.
I don't know which one of these teams ahead of them is more offensive. Probably the Cardinals.
Yes.
And the fact that they're ranked in the top 10 makes me wonder what's going on in Prisco's world.
I don't know. Does Kingsbury have like naked photos of Prisco or something?
Could be the other way around.
Ooh, yeah. Although, yeah, okay. That's probably more plausible. It seems like Prisco would be the type of guy to like dig stuff like that up.
Sure. You never know when it could come in handy.
I think we can all agree if we were to try to pick which coach in the entire NFL is most likely to have sent nudies out there, I think we would all agree it's Cliff Kingsbury.
No doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Just handsome enough to think that he could pull off sending around some photos.
Yeah.
And just not quite all there to also do it.
Exactly.
He's like the Brett Favre of coaches.
Right. Yeah. He's a nudie chucker.
Glad we broke that down.
Oh, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Well, look, this is the stuff we have to do within like the first 4 weeks of the season, because it is so difficult to tell anything about any of these teams going into week one. It's all just narratives and names, and you know a little bit about the schemes that they run, I guess, but it's always different every year. There's always wrinkles. Like we don't know any more than the Seahawks do at this point. And there's just not, you kind of go through the roster. You're like, okay, you know, I mean, how many dudes do they have? It turns out for the Colt, not many. On to Cliff Kingsbury sending nudies. Like, that's where we're at.
All right, let's get to the second half of the show.
All right.
Adam, this was a sad week.
Yeah?
KJ Wright signs with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
How are you doing this week?
Well, I'm not too tore up about it, and I'll tell you why. Because
we got Tanner Muse instead from them letting him go.
No, I think this is like some sort of false flag operation. And like KJ is just infiltrating the Raiders for some unknown reason so that it can help the Seahawks out later. And he's going to get himself cut by like week four, and then he'll be back on our roster. Like I know for a fact that might happen.
You know what? I don't think KJ Wright actually signed with the Raiders. I think it's fake news.
It might be. Might be. If we wish hard enough, it could become that.
Come week one in Indianapolis, KJ Wright is going to be lining up next to Bobby Wagner.
Right. Yeah, for sure. There's
because
no doubt
I
about
said
it.
So.
I read it on the internet on a forum.
If I just believe hard enough. That'll happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We all need to like combine our total hawker here. All of us little flockers, and see if we can will this into existence somehow.
If not, even if we can't will it into existence, we just speak about it as if it is existing in our minds that way. And then that's a coping mechanism.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that how we're going to handle this year, this entire season, like dealing with KJ's loss? Is just talk about him as if he's still like with us.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I mean, I just,
if anybody
wonder
else
many...
has any better ideas, I'm open to them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just wonder how many sacks KJ is going to get in week one. I'm going with 2.5.
2.5 sacks.
Yeah.
8 tackles. Yeah. 2 passes defensed on screen passes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For the Seahawks.
The crazy thing is that it'll look like it's Jordan Brooks doing these things, but it's not. It's actually KJ.
And even if it goes to the close up of his face, it's one of those Mission Impossible masks.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's definitely how
this
that,
is getting more elaborate. I think we're right. I think KJ Wright still is on this team.
Wait, is KJ Wright actually Jordan Brooks?
I think so.
Well, I can't wait to watch KJ Brooks this week. It's going to be great.
If nothing else, maybe it's a Freaky Friday swap.
There we go. I'm just saying there's got to be a way. Like somehow this is how it is.
Just so we can handle it emotionally.
Right. Handle what emotionally?
There's nothing to handle. We're fine.
Everything's fine. Everything is fine.
Let's welcome some new members of the flock.
Perfect. Everything's fine with them too.
DCH is fine. Dustin Mock, you're fine. Brian Shaw is fine. Kevin Watterson, he's fine. Jake Burdine, his name practically rhymes with fine.
Yeah.
And Brian Lowry through the month as a 144 contributor for the annual donation.
That's awesome, man. Are you flirting with all of the executive producers?
DCH, you're fine.
You're fine.
See, we're back in the 80s now.
What's up? What's up, fine Burdine?
Executive producer Kevin Watterson sends in a note, says, in the spirit of the executive producer basketball squad, you can list me as 6'3", 195 on the game day program.
Yes.
Also, side note, can we acknowledge the legendary pettiness that the Saints went to in an attempt to secure a slight competitive edge over their week one opponent, Green Bay Packers? Because they can't play in New Orleans due to the current situation from the hurricane. So they did a little research. They found that Aaron Rodgers has a losing record of 3-4 in the state of Florida. Then they took it a step further and used Expedia to find out that the three possible host cities, Jacksonville was the most expensive to travel to from Green Bay. If this doesn't qualify for Better at Life than Skip Bayless, it certainly should.
Yeah, that's good work. I didn't realize that the Saints were pulling all this shenanigans here. Can we just make that my Better at Life right now since I didn't research one?
Well, you'll have to kind of repeat it when we get there, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just a note from our executive producer to you.
Exactly. Oh, right. So like, yeah, we probably shouldn't have read that out loud on the air. Now it looks like all the executive producers just give us all of our ideas.
I can cut it and then nobody will know.
Now, we'll let everybody know how the sausage is made right now. Okay. Like, that's fine. Yeah.
Aaron Lentz came in at $3 a month at getintheflock.com. So welcome to the flock to Aaron.
Appreciate it, Aaron. Absolutely. Here's a reminder to everybody, because $3, that gets you in the Pick'em League. If you haven't signed up and gotten your team name in, like, I don't know, me, you should do that here really fast.
Well, it's the same Pick'em League as last year. So you just log in through the same place.
Oh, it just carries over? I don't even have to do anything? I just got to make my picks?
You could update your team name.
Do I have to do that before week one to be eligible?
You do not have to do it.
Okay, because I might not. I'm not feeling extra creative on team names right now.
You do have to get your picks in, though, for them to count.
That's a true fact. And so do that.
There's Thursday night game. Don't miss it.
Oh, well, I guess I know what I'm doing right after I get done with this podcast.
There you go. So Aaron is in the Pick'em League. Hopefully, get your picks in.
Yeah.
Dookie Bear is in via PayPal. So SeahawkersPodcast.com/donate. You can use the PayPal link through there. That's what Dookie Bear did. And $12 donation. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Appreciate that a bunch. So stickers for the Duke.
Address. Send me the address.
Yeah.
GoHawks at SeahawkersPodcast.com. Don't let me forget.
Yeah.
Freddie Romero came in at $25 a month. Freddie says, "Dear Brandon and Adam, I first wanted to say that I have really enjoyed the pod for the better part of 5-ish years now, and I really started listening a lot in the past 2 years with my drive back and forth with schooling. I had weird jobs and was going back to school, so really had to watch my money, but knew that I really wanted to get in the flock when I got a career-type job, and here I am! I was going to start off at the $90 a month route, but I might still get there, but didn't know if that was the best way to introduce myself. So $25 for right now, and there might be an upgrade in the not-so-distant future. Have been a Hawks fan since inception, my inception, not the Hawks, since they came before me, but my grandfather was a sports guru and a proponent of staying true to your local teams, so I had no choice. But I am okay with that. I won't say I agree with everything you two say on the pod, but say we are at a good 93%. And I love all the facts, questions posed to Adam, good pointed convo, and even love the Adam rants. Cannot wait to join, be in the Pick'em League and Discord with you and the rest of the amazing people inside this community.
Catfish!
The 49ers. And with that, there's only one thing left to say. Go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks, man. Appreciate all the kind words and everything. Like, it's good to have you in. Congratulations on being a true professional, it sounds like now.
Yeah.
Yeah. In whatever career that is.
Tech. The email went on. He did say that he's in tech now.
Oh, okay. So he makes like what, Iron Man suit or something like that?
Well, I think he was saying that he may be able to hook us up with some of the Discord stuff.
Oh.
With the game streaming. Although we are going to have to get to that after we welcome our new members of the flock, because we do have Matt in Denver. We have the status to run down for him.
Oh, that's right. That was a big deal. We'll see what if the Emperor, the combined flockers as Emperor, if they give him the thumbs up or thumbs down.
We'll have to see. I haven't actually gone through and tallied the votes yet, so we're going to do it live.
Ooh. All right. So it's going to be exciting for both of us.
Bosty Seahawker came in at $36 for the year, $3 a month. Says, hey, Brandon and Adam, shame on me. I have been a freeloader for years now. Grace period, well exceeded. But finally, my brother Alex came through to me. Finally, I get in the flock. Finally, I do better. I enjoyed hanging out with you guys in London. Great experience and my first and only game so far. Can't wait to welcome you here in Germany for a game in the future. Keep up the great work. Cheers from Berlin, Deutschland, and go Hawks from Bosty.
Hey, all right, Bosty. Yeah, I mean, now that you're doing better, I hope that you sleep better at night, that everything in your world is just 100% better. I mean, because probably while you were a freeloader, there must have been so many like just random unfortunate things that would befall you.
You just never know if it's correlated to the freeloader status.
Oh, it is.
Or not.
Oh, it is.
It probably is.
So any of you that are listening right now and are freeloading like currently, and you know who you are, and I hope that guilt is like, you know, welling up inside of you right now. If you've had a string of bad luck lately, now you know why.
Well, the people who do support the show, they do much better in the Pick'em. And they get the better prizes.
Mm-hmm.
And they look in the mirror and they feel better looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of bonuses that go along with supporting the show.
Oh, yeah. I think 3/4 of them have supermodel spouses.
Probably.
Yeah.
Roberto Gonzalez came in at $3 a month. Got significantly better looking in the process. So welcome to the flock to Roberto.
Well, and that's actually great for humanity as a whole that he got better looking in the process, because he was already like amazing looking.
Right.
So now it's like,
it's incredible.
Look at you, bud. Yeah.
It's like watching the movie Zoolander and looking in the mirror the entire time.
Oh, absolutely.
And Jerv Reed came in with a raise up to 12-12, says, hey guys, you were due for a raise because you're both better at life than Skip Bayless. The Hawks should go undefeated at home this year because the fans' vocal cords are well rested for a year, so the other team shouldn't be able to hear
catfish.
I'm happy that we got through the offseason relatively healthy and Brown and Diggs are satisfied and playing. If you haven't seen it already, the ESPN article has us losing 8 straight games and missing the playoffs, and the gorgeous but non-analytical minded Cynthia Freeland has us with a 43% chance of making the playoffs, which means we should fly under the radar to a Super Bowl win and crap all over the analysts and media who picked the 4 Raka to place better than us. Anyway,
catfish!
The media,
catfish!
Their stupid rivals, the regular season is finally back, and go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Who do I dislike more now, Brandon? Is it Cynthia Freeland or is it Pete Prisco? Who do I dislike more? Is it the stat nerd that can't like has the worst math skills in the history of math, apparently, because she always is predicting the worst things for the Seahawks? Or is it Pete Prisco, who literally lives in a whole nother world and is bona fide insane?
I would say that you have more sports hate for Prisco.
Okay.
And part of it is your impression of Cynthia Freeland is always spot on.
I take such care in my Cynthia Freeland impersonation. I don't even know if that sounds close to what it was the first time. I don't know. Yeah. No, I have very little care, apparently.
You used to have a really good Cynthia Freeland impression.
Okay, maybe I'll have to go back and re-listen and get in, come up with an impersonation of my impersonation. But I'm feeling like I'm starting to lean towards the Cynthia here. You know, not only she predicting bad things for the Seahawks, but she's a stats nerd and a bad stats nerd. And that,
I don't
that
think
makes
she's bad at math. I think she's bad at building computer models that tell her how things are going to go.
Mm.
Because if she's consistently wrong about the Seahawks every single year, there are numbers that she's not capturing and putting into her model.
Variables that are not included or maybe misrepresented.
Exactly.
I don't know. So basically, she just hates the Seahawks. She's building these on purpose.
It's a implicit bias within her mind that is causing her to overlook the variables that would put the Seahawks ahead in most aspects of her modeling.
Those were big words, so I'll take your word for it.
Just trying to sound smart.
That was good by you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of sciencey.
Oh, and so Jerv, whenever he signs off with Go Hawks, it is the Southern version.
Yeah.
And he points out, he says, I use Go because I am from NOLA. And my parents are LSU alum. So, Jerv, hope everybody that you know down there is doing all right.
Heck yeah, man.
And he also says, I'm a Virginia Tech Hokies graduate because I love the mountains and outdoors just like you guys.
Hey, all right.
We could hang out with Jerv.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and that's the thing is I hate cities, right? But the French Quarter in New Orleans, as long as you stay off of Bourbon Street, which is like Vegas for dumb white people.
Isn't Vegas for dumb white people?
No, this is worse.
Okay.
Yeah. I told the story about getting clonged in the head with a bottle of Crown Royal. That happened within 3 minutes of being on Bourbon Street. Don't go on Bourbon Street, but the rest of it is badass. I actually really enjoy New Orleans. So you're right. We could hang out.
Well, a big thanks to everyone who came into the flock. Getintheflock.com. Oh, that, you know what? I haven't done the giveaway I'll post it separately because it is time to give away the Chris Carson tiny piece of Seahawks stuff, Adam.
Ooh.
Congratulations to whoever wins. I just need to remember to do that.
Okay.
And then find the tiny pieces of Seahawks stuff for, oh, I know what I'm doing. Okay, so we're doing a Russell Wilson, tiny pieces of Seahawks stuff, home and away. And so you got the blue material there. But then, in addition, and I have to give a big thanks to Aaron Fisher for donating this and sending it in, we got a Seahawks patch. It's an old school Seahawks patch, Adam, holding that up for you. It has the old school logo on the helmet with the Seattle Seahawks. So it's a very cool patch going along with the card. And that is going to be the tiny pieces of Seahawks stuff giveaway for this month.
Dude, this is the best one yet. No doubt about it. The patch with the old school helmet with the double bar face mask. That's super dope.
Well, the cool thing is that he sent one for each of us in addition to this one to give away. So I got one for you, Adam.
Oh, my gosh. Life just got way better.
See, I'm glad I waited this long to tell you about that. I just made your day.
This is a great way to start the season. We're going undefeated.
20-0. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Well, let's see if Matt can go undefeated in the vote. And if you don't remember, going back to last week, Matt in Denver, he was the freeloader who wanted into the Discord. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to provide the service of an illegal game day stream within the Discord. And so we took it to our members of the Facebook Ring of Honor group for up and down thumbs votes. And so here we go. First vote in. Should I name off who gave the thumbs up or thumbs down?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because if you're condemning Matt to being outside of the Discord group, like, I think I would want my name associated with it, right? Like, whoever, who's the first one?
Jason.
It was a thumbs up, a thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Okay. All right. Jason the Merciful.
We got Kevin. Second vote. Thumbs up.
Ooh. All right.
It's kind of a delayed
Kevin
one.
The Merciful as well. Yeah.
Jeremy says, pay up, cheapskate. Thumbs down.
Jeremy, the tyrant.
Let's see this next one. Does this count? I asked for thumbs up or thumbs down gifts.
Mm-hmm.
This is a slight head nod gif.
Yeah, that's a thumbs up.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a chicken dancing with two thumbs up. That was Aaron. Okay. Aaron and Michael with the last two. Kyle, Adam Sandler, thumbs down.
Ooh, an Adam Sandler thumbs down. How many does that count for?
I think just one.
Oh.
Kenneth says thumbs down.
Ooh.
Clinton says thumbs up. Here's the long play.
Clinton's a softy.
Let him in, be open. He'll be paying within a year and a valued member of the Discord.
100% correct. You give him a taste. It's like being a good drug dealer, man. You give the first product out for free.
Jason says, okay. Paul, thumbs up.
Okay.
James just says, bum, 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 bum. So do I take that as a thumbs down?
Yeah, demonstrative thumbs down.
Warren says thumbs up. Jonathan says, just do it. Actually, never mind. Daniel, thumbs up. Kevin, thumbs down. Chris, let him in just long enough to share the link and then go Sparta on him. And it has dude getting kicked into the pit. Mark says absolutely not. Dave says no.
Ooh, it's getting tight. Is it getting tight?
It's getting tight. Tim says no.
Oh, Matt, it's starting to pucker now.
And says, why should we let a dude in for sharing something he stole? I'm definitely against it.
See, that's the part I respect.
And then we got Joshua in with a no way.
Whoa.
So are you keeping track?
Joshua the Ruthless.
I know. I think Matt gets in by one vote.
Wow. Wow. I didn't realize it'd be that tight. I thought it'd be more of a landslide either way there. But I mean, the little flockers as a group, Matt, are we not merciful?
So Matt, let me know where I can email you and I'll get you a link to the Discord that you might have a bit of initiation phase.
Yeah.
And if you don't come through, it sounds like Ryan can also provide us the link. So we actually do have multiple people that can provide us with the link. But I like it being Matt's job, especially.
So, wait. So the dude's name is Matt, not Ben?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I said Ben like four times. So here's one to put in over top of Ben. Matt.
Just edit that in.
I just got it wrong the whole time. Now I feel like a jackass. All right, Ben Matt.
Who are we talking? Were we talking about Ben earlier? Where did
I don't
that come
know.
From?
I don't know. It was a one syllable male name.
Maybe I said Ben.
Maybe you said Ben. Maybe I'm just an idiot.
If I said Ben,
yeah,
Matt, and I'll go back and cut that in.
Right, and if you don't, then I guess this is just all comedy gold for all of you going forward.
Jared and Kennewick, L. Trowell on Twitter says, well, fellas, I wanted to start off the season with a chakra cleansing and gave up my freeloading ways last week. I didn't know that would lead to a 27-0 win over the Chargers. Now it has me wondering if this magic that I have put into the universe by supporting my favorite Seahawks pod is limited to one victory or if it's going to continue. If it's only good for one game, then I feel like I might have wasted it on a preseason game instead of saving it for a certain important game that the Seahawks will be playing in February. So, just to do my part in keeping the Seahawks on track, I'm going to put out a little challenge to the other freeloaders out there. Cleanse your chakra. You know it's the right thing, and the Seahawks will have a big win when you do.
The logic is flawless there. And because I'm not sure, though, that he's limited to one game there, because he might be Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring that back.
I just did.
Nobody ever got tired of it.
No. No. It's, well, when's it ever going to die?
Never. It's unlimited.
It's unlimited.
On to do better and better at life.
All right, man. My do better this week is for the market on Front Street here in Missoula. Brittany and I were in town today. She was hungry, decided, let's get some breakfast burritos. So she wanted to call it in or order in advance, right, to like save us a little time. And so I ended up getting on the phone, placing our order for a standard breakfast burrito. We both got the same thing, all the standard ingredients, and then you choose between bacon or sausage.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not hard.
Right. Simple as it gets, right? Okay. Put in my credit card information, do the whole thing, and hit send. Congratulations. Your order has been confirmed. It'll be ready to pick up in 50
catfishing
minutes. 50.
50?
50. 50 minutes to produce their standard breakfast burrito. And keep in mind, this is like a deli cafeteria kind of style place, right? It's just a little hoity-toitier. 50 freaking minutes that I'm supposed to wait for one of their basic burritos that I know that they must have on hand, right? And so, like, I'm pissed. And Brittany's like, no, this is how long it takes. I'm like, it can't possibly take this long. And I'm just furious. I'm just furious about this. It's ridiculous.
So she knew it was going to take that long?
No, she had no idea. Oh. She was stunned. But she was like, yeah, if it says it takes 50 minutes, it takes 50 minutes. I was like, how in the hell could they be on a Wednesday have so many orders that it takes them 50 minutes to make two burritos? They can't be stacked up like 500 orders deep, right? Because it can't take more than like 3 minutes a burrito to throw these things together. All this stuff is like pre-cooked. It's ready to go. They have four options. It's not like they're making everything from scratch, like at a diner or something. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. So I'm freaking pissed. I get there. I go to pick up the burritos. And she goes, oh, you're here to pick up her? I was like, yeah. What's your name? I was like, Adam. She goes to the wall where there's literally like four tickets hanging on the wall. Four. Then proceeds to open up a giant warming drawer where there's quite literally like 70 pre-made catfish burritos in the
catfish
drawer. I know we're available 50
catfishing
minutes ago, but no, I just wasted an hour of my life because of their stupid app. Market on Front Street. Do better.
I see Brittany in the background. Does she want to add in on this?
You want to add in on this, Britt?
And all this was over
catfishing
burritos.
But was it the best burrito you've ever had?
They were great burritos. Yeah, you got to give it to Market on Front Street for their great burritos. They were good. They were a little spicy, but they were really good. But, you know, he could have, what he didn't imply was that he didn't call them. He did this online. So right. He trusted, and do you know how many times you've hung out with
him? I said I did it online.
You've hung out with him before, right? Like, how many times has he said, why don't you just call them up? Like, why are you doing this online? Why don't you just call them? But what does he do?
He trusted the technology.
He trusted the technology. So, I mean, like, half of this is on him. So, Adam, do better.
Yes. Brittany's first appearance on the show, and it was awesome.
I'm not sure I like the trend this is starting.
Yeah, this is partially a you problem, but I think...
Wait, no.
But it's also the app problem.
Yeah, 50 minutes. Give me a break.
You should have known, though. You should have known when it said 50 minutes. Come on now.
It said after it was all done. It was already done. I already paid.
I know.
Yeah.
See, I thought you were going to get there and say, oh, we threw those out because, you know, we had them ready 45 minutes ago.
Right? No. No, they just went to the drawer of burritos and pulled out two for us.
Well, while we piled on Cynthia Freeland earlier in this episode, we are piling on the ESPN analytics guru Seth Walder for his article this past week that had the Seahawks going 0-8. To start the NFL season. It's not just the fact that they had a simulation and it had the Seahawks going 0-8. It's the fact that this is the one that they chose. They ran 20,000 simulations to try and figure out, you know, what's the average of how the season might go. This is the season that they decided to do it on. So I'm thinking that Seth hates the Seahawks, decided to pull this out because it had the Seahawks going just absolutely crazy and losing 8 straight games. And then he writes about it like it actually happened. Seahawks fall apart. Coach Pete Carroll and new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron tried it all. They tried to let Russ cook. They tried to run the ball. They tried everything in between. It didn't matter. The Seattle Seahawks couldn't recapture the magic of their early 2020 offense, while a questionable pass rush and a lacking secondary betrayed them on defense. In this simulation, Seattle started the year with a loss, then another loss, and then another. By midseason, the team was in shock of the league, staring at an 0-8 record. 6 of those losses were by one score, though the Seahawks were pummeled in Week 6 by the Steelers and a 29-point loss. As the season passed its midway point, no other team stood winless.
Wow.
Not only is this a simulation, this is complete fiction being written as if it actually happened. And for Seth Walder to pick out this one simulation and write about it, dude's got to do better.
What in the world was that? Was that Bay Area fan porn? Like, that's what that sounded like. Like, what kind of article is that? Like, simulation is that? I would hate for this guy to predict, like, the future of humanity. Like, that would get real dark and twisty.
Yeah, which one of these 20,000 simulations sounds the dumbest? And that's the one I'm going to choose to write about, because he has the Jaguars making the playoffs. He has the Seahawks finishing in the bottom 5 of the NFL. And the Panthers, well, the Panthers could earn the top overall pick, I suppose. And he has Jameis Winston taking the Saints to the playoffs.
So basically, he picked the worst simulation in the history of the world since Cynthia Freeland's predictions that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we now have a new face to put up on the Mount Rushmore of Adam's sports hatred.
Yeah, absolutely. I better come up with an impersonation of this dumb
catfish
too.
I'm better at life.
My better at life than Skip Bayless this week is for NASA and the rover Perseverance. That's right. That's the rover that keeps on giving. We love this thing. Apparently it's been now nicknamed Percy, which I have lukewarm feelings about. I'm not big on the name Percy for obvious reasons. Yeah, I mean, we all know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was the worst character in The Green Mile.
Unless it's short for Perseus.
No, it's short for Perseverance, Brandon. That's why they named it Percy.
Catfish! Yeah.
But anyways, Perseverance did something historic just here back on the 1st. They collected the very first rock samples ever from Mars. Never been done. The cooler part is that what it's going to do is it's going to bag it up in like a Ziploc baggie and then just drop it on the surface of Mars to be collected later, like some
catfish
with a dog who, like, you know, collects their dog's poop and then doesn't take it with them.
You said the samples were collected on Mars, but then dropped off on Mars?
Yeah. So here's where it gets a little weird, though. Because you know, better at life for that, right? Here's where it gets a little weird. They're dropping it on the ground to be picked up later by a lander that hasn't even been built yet. It's not coming for like another 10 years. So he's just going to leave Mars litter all over the place. Like I said, like a
catfish
dog owner who like bags up the poop and then just doesn't want to carry it with them and like just leaves it like on the ground. That's what we're doing on Mars until a lander is hopefully built that comes by and then picks it up and brings it back. But I just thought the story was kind of funny, and that's pretty cool that they were able to collect rocks, but a little short-sighted maybe in the return journey there. But yeah, but overall, better at life than Skip Bayless.
There we go. Well, my better at life than Skip Bayless. You know what? It's for the New Orleans Saints, because they did the research.
What?
I thought you were going to take this, and you didn't. So now it's mine.
Yeah,
they did the research. They're holding the game in Jacksonville, where Aaron Rodgers stinks apparently, and it's the most expensive trip from Green Bay to Jacksonville. So
really,
that's what I've heard.
That's amazing. This is good stuff. This is the first time hearing of it.
I'm surprised you haven't heard about this.
Yeah, no, it's news to me.
So, for the New Orleans Saints, gamblers, I'm not giving you any hints, but if I were going to bet on a game, it might be this one, but probably not. But the New Orleans Saints, for securing the week one victory against the Packers before it even happened. Better at life than Skip Bayless.
Yes, absolutely. I can't believe that you were able to dig that up. That's some good sleuthing by you.
What can I say? I am really good at research.
We are such original thinkers on this podcast that I'm blown away by it weekly.
And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.